DeJong cranks one. Deep left. At the track. At the wall. Grand slam. Grand slam. Paul DeJong. They intentionally walk Carlson. And DeJong makes it pay.
It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN 301. Your time trick is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler with former Blue Jamie Rivers and former Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by Tim Kirchen of ESPN, and he will be on the call tonight when the Mets and the Cubs go at it at Wrigley Field. Tim, it's snowing here. It's snowing here in St. Louis. Is it going to snow tonight at Wrigley? What's the forecast looking like?
Yes, it's going to snow tonight at Wrigley. It's going to be in the low 30s, and I think as Brad can acknowledge more than anyone, this is an impossibly difficult game to play when the weather is great. When the weather stinks and it's this cold and it's snowing, it's impossible to play this game. It's too hard to begin with, and that's what we're going to be facing tonight. And yet, who knows? Maybe we'll get a great game.
That's the beauty of baseball, and I think I realized this, Tim, and you love this game inside and out. I feel like when I have a game pegged and I know what I'm going to see, I always end up seeing the opposite. Do you feel like that happens to you a lot?
Yeah, it happens every night, and that's the beauty of the sport. The game is too good to be predicted. Look, I love basketball, but when the Lakers play and they're in their prime, you know the ball is going through LeBron like on every offensive possession. The way Steph Curry's shooting it now, you know where the ball is going. You know how the game is going to be played. But baseball, you never know on a nightly basis. How many times have we been wrong when we get the greatest pitching matchup you'll ever see and it's 10-8? And then two pitchers who should be at AAA and the final score is 2-1. This is what makes it so interesting, is that we never know what's going to happen next. And that's why I love it so much, is the unpredictable nature of the game.
Tim, what's interesting about that is that baseball, more so than any other sport, and I know there is advanced metrics when it comes to basketball and football and hockey, but they pale in comparison to the advanced metrics available for baseball. Yet the game, as you just noted, is highly unpredictable. So how should we evaluate, or how can we better evaluate baseball in terms of predicting outcomes?
Well, we should stop trying to predict what's going to happen next and focus on what just happened so we can learn from it. Look, I'm the son of a mathematician. My dad was a PhD in mathematics, so give me all the numbers you can. But if you ask how to evaluate, we need to watch the games. And we've stopped watching the games. It's our veteran eyes and ears of our most veteran managers, coaches, scouts, players that I think are really going to prove the difference between the good teams and the bad teams. Everyone has the same numbers now, and they are everywhere. But in the end, give me Buck Showalter's eyes and ears on a play, and I will trust that more than I trust any set of numbers. But even that are untrustworthy because the game is just too good to be predicted.
So my question is, do we get back to that? Because I find myself, Tim, you do this, you probably dig into the numbers. I'll be prepping for a Cardinal game, and I'll have so much in front of me that my brain is busted. And then I'll just talk to somebody, whether it be an old school guy, talk to Mike Shannon in the hallway, and he says something like, oh, dang it, that makes all the sense in the world. Why am I digging into all this? Do you think that we'll see the information while it's always going to be there? Do you think we'll see it take a back seat again in baseball?
Well, not for a long time. The numbers are here, and they're here to stay. I just hope that some of our players recognize that they get paralyzed by looking at the numbers, just like you do when you sit in the press box and there is so much information. Sometimes players just need to go up there and trust their hands, trust their eyes, trust their scouting reports, but not think about all of that when they're trying to get a hit off of Jack Flaherty, which is impossible anyway. But when your mind is somewhere else, it's thinking of something other than trying to get a hit, that's when you're in a lot of trouble. So I don't think it's coming back anytime soon, and that's why the league, Major League, is at 233 right now. The pitching is so unbelievably good, and the hitters are going to have to make an adjustment here if we're going to start putting more balls in play and getting something more than a walk, a strikeout, and a home run.
Tim, a guy that I've watched now for 18 years, trust his hands, trust his eyes, trust the scouting report, just keep going out there and do amazing things, is Yadier Molina. He's 38 years old. He's hitting over 300, got an OPS in the 900s. When you watch Yadi go out and do what he does, being the baseball lover that you are, what do you think about what Yadi's doing?
Well, he's the best hitter on their team right now, which is remarkable given the position he plays, given his age. He's got 4 homers, 12 RBIs, and on a team that's got guys who should be better hitters than him, this is just amazing, and I'm not surprised at all. He loves the game as much as anyone I've ever seen. He understands the game, not just behind the plate, but everything that he has behind the plate to help every pitcher on that team, he can also take to the plate. I told you guys that, you know, in a pitcher's meeting years ago, Dave Duncan, many years ago, said, all right, now be careful. We'll throw this guy a slider on 2-0. And Yadi said, no, we can't do that. He had a homer on that pitch 3 years ago. And he wasn't exaggerating. That's what he understands, and he can take that knowledge to the plate. And that's one reason why he's still a very good hitter as well as a brilliant defensive catcher.
Tim Kirchen of ESPN joining us right now on the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Tim, what's your take thus far? And we're not even through April yet, but we tend to not be able to see the forest through the trees because we look at this team every single night and we look at the inconsistencies. But from a national perspective, what's your feeling on the Cardinals this year? Good, negative, anything?
Well, they haven't played very well. They're 8-8, as we know. Their ERA is almost 5. It's the 13th best ERA in the National League. It's 4.95. And they're hitting .228 as a team. Now, almost everybody's hitting .228 as a team this year, but they're better than that offensively. They're going to pitch way better than this once Flaherty becomes the great pitcher that we know he is. Waino's going to get this straightened out. So are some other guys. Michaelis is going to come back at some point. So I fully expect them by the end of the year to be the best team in the Central. That doesn't mean they're going to be really good, but I think they're still the best team in the division. I think they will be at the end of the year. The only warning is that Brewers pitching right now is awfully good, and it would scare me if I were a Central team having to go up against Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, and the rest of those guys with the way they're throwing right now.
Tim, we'll just take a break here from the Cardinals just for a second. I wanted to get your opinion on something I watched and I thought was incredible, was the Dodgers-Padres series. What did you think of that and the intensity surrounding that and, quite honestly, the competition that will be in the West?
Yeah, Dave Roberts said it after game one that was a playoff atmosphere, and that is so, so good for the game that we're playing a playoff atmosphere in the middle of April. Those two teams play 19 games this year. The Dodgers are clearly the best team in the National League, clearly the best team in baseball, but you can make a case the Padres are the second best team in the National League, and that's going to be a tremendous series. There was so much that went on in that Friday night game. Saturday night was almost as good, and the Padres came back to win on Sunday. So if that's what we're headed for with the Padres-Dodgers, count me in for all 19 games. And it's so good for baseball that we have two teams in the same division that close geographically that are going to play this many times with teams that good.
Tim, if I gave you one ticket, and this ticket was good to go see any Major League Baseball game, but you had to pick one player that you're going to see, who are you spending that ticket on?
Well, I'm still going to go see Mike Trout because I'm old enough to have seen Willie Mays play, and Mike Trout's the best player I've seen since Willie Mays. So I always start with him. But I'm telling you, that Ronald Acuna guy, oh my goodness, have you seen what he's done until he got hurt? And it's not just how many extra base hits he has. It's him hitting a bullet to the shortstop, Didi Gregorius, and beating it out at first. It's the arm strength in the outfield. It's the defense in the outfield. It's the speed on the bases. It's ridiculous how athletic he is, and he's like 14 years old. So he would probably be second on the list, but anytime maybe the best player a lot of people have ever seen or playing, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Mike Trout, that's the first guy that I'm going to watch.
Finally, Tim, I'm really interested in your take in some of the new rules that are going to be in the minor leagues and which one you think that might translate to the big leagues, or at least the one that you're most interested in. For our listeners, AAA is going to be using bigger bases. AA is going to be limiting the shifts. In A-ball, we're going to see limited pickoffs and automated strike zones. Even in independent ball in the Atlantic League, they're going to be moving the mound back in the second half. Like, is there anything there that interests you as far as the health of the game going forward?
Well, it all interests me, and it's the minor leagues is the perfect place to experiment with all of this as we try to fix the game and the things that are wrong with it. However, and I like the shifting the most. I think there's a chance a change in the shift rule could help more players put the ball in play and get a more evenly played game rather than just homer strikeouts and walks. I think it's a really bad idea to move the mound back a foot.
Me too.
We've been playing at this distance since 1893. And why? Because it really works. And yes, the pitchers have completely overwhelmed the hitters these days, but it's time for the hitters to make that adjustment. Like the pitchers did when they got their brains beat out at the beginning of this century. They got clobbered every night, and they said, we got to do something about it. Now it's the hitter's turn to make the adjustment against this great pitching, and I just don't think from a health standpoint it's a good idea to move it back a foot when guys who are so precise in what they're doing have been pitching from a certain distance for so long.
Tim, great stuff. We love your work. Appreciate you joining us. Stay warm tonight at Wrigley Field, all right?
Okay, guys, take care.